Welcome to the Triple D Podcast, Donuts, Disability, and Discourse, where host Michael Leiner talks to the best in the business about community, impact, business, and donuts. Here's your host, Michael Leiner.
Welcome to another edition of the Triple D Podcast, Donuts, Disability, and Discourse. I am so honored in March to have a great guest today from the Epilepsy Association, an organization which is near and dear to my heart, Nikki Johnson.
Thank you so much.
Introduce yourself. Tell us what you do with the Epilepsy Association.
So for the Epilepsy Association, I do, my official position is our manager of marketing and development. So I run all of the events, make sure that the social media is going, any type of marketing stuff I'm in charge of. And then along with that, I am also making sure that the stories of our clients and the people that we help with epilepsy are showcased and we're spreading as much epilepsy awareness as we can.
And that is like one of the big missions of the Epilepsy Association is just spreading awareness, right?
That is the mission.
Yeah.
It is spreading awareness for epilepsy and helping people that have epilepsy in their life, if it's their own personal diagnosis or if it's someone in their life that has epilepsy.
Now, I want to back up a little bit and ask, so how did you get to this role? Do you have a story that ties you? You're smiling.
I don't. I
applied for a job.
I applied for a job and I got it. But, you know, I started at the Epilepsy Association as an intern, became a development associate, and then became manager. And when I first started as an intern, I started telling people, I was like, I'm interning at this epilepsy place. And in my eyes, I didn't know a single person that had epilepsy.
Yeah.
And then every single person I talked to was like, oh, I have epilepsy, or like my sister has epilepsy. And I grew to understand how much people try and hide this disease. And it became something that people felt so comfortable that they could just talk to me about. So I had a connection without even realizing I had a connection.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that we were talking about off camera beforehand is how, you know, I myself had epilepsy as a child. A lot of people don't know that you can grow out of epilepsy. I'm one of the people who is fortunate to, just as my brain grew, and obviously now it's like protruding out of my skull. I'm so smart. But, you know, I was fortunate to be able to grow out of epilepsy, but it's just, it's an impairment that it's not talked about much. And why do you think that is?
I think it's a combination of just like the stigma of everything. Because like if you ask a person who doesn't have a connection to epilepsy what they think a seizure is, they just think of like the dramatic shaking on the
falling out on the floor,
shaking,
foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, I got to put a wallet in their mouth. And it's like, please, first of all, don't do that at all. But I think the biggest thing is just like everyone is just so scared of it. And it's not something that should be as scary as people make it out to be. Because we have plenty of people that use our services that their seizures, or they just kind of blank out, that they just stare off into the distance and that's what their seizure is.
Right.
And they just look like they zone out like someone would during like science class in fifth grade.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't get an opportunity to like talk about this too often. I mean, I suppose years ago, if you go back into like videos we shot 10 years ago or different things, I probably was talking about it more then. But I just think back to when I was a child. I never knew if it was linked, but like I started having seizures right after I fell off. You know, this now we have Meijer's in Cleveland, but I'm from Detroit and we only just got Meijer here in the last like 5 years, maybe. So I used to talk about Meijer here and nobody knew what I was talking about, but that was like where we went.
That's
to
like
shop
if you talk about Wegmans.
It's like Walmart. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Same thing. Nobody knows. There's probably no way that they can have these in a store anymore, but they would have like a penny horse. You remember like the penny horse?
Oh yeah.
I'm fighting my little brother I'm 5 years old at the time, maybe 6 years old. And we're fighting to see who can go on the penny horse first. Where you put a penny in and you ride it for probably 20 seconds until it wants another penny. But, we had the genius idea where I would go on the back of the penny horse and he would go on the front so we could share it. And I fell off the back. And within a few months of that, I had my first seizure. And kind of like getting to the point, unless you have a seizure yourself, it's really hard to understand what it's like, in the sense that, you know, I'm at this point, I'm 38 years old. I haven't had a seizure since I think I was in sixth or seventh grade. But that helplessness that you feel while you're having it, you know, a lot of people report that they're just totally unconscious. They don't remember anything, but I remember what it was like, and mine would always happen in that period of time, that like short window between when you're asleep and when you're awake, and that's when they would come. And I would be in my bed. I'm a kid. I'm trying to alert my parents as to what's going on, but I'm muted by it. I can't communicate. But like, I know something's wrong. I'm, you know, not having like full out convulsive seizures, but my body doesn't have control. And what I would always try and do is like try and get my body into a wall and knock it like against, you know, my bed, so that my brother a few rooms down could hear me and alert someone. But that helplessness is something that I think about now as an adult who is helping people going through their journeys, because that's like the stigma that's missed, is people don't realize how helpless it feels to have so many of the health challenges that my clients face and the people that you work with to help every day face. Is that like similar to what you hear from people?
Absolutely. Especially when you were saying how you just feel so helpless.
Yeah.
A lot of our clients, when they talk about their seizures, the ones that like do remember it, they say it's like a thunderstorm happening in their head where they kind of lose any function and they lose any kind of thought process and they just feel so extremely overwhelmed. And then sometimes that fog doesn't completely go away. Like, I feel like sometimes people are like, oh, when the shaking stops, that's when the seizure is over. But there is this period of time where people who have epilepsy and have seizure disorders, they're in that fog for a little bit afterwards. And people are trying to communicate with them. And then it gets into the whole kind of like when people have them in public and people are trying to communicate after seeing a seizure, and then an ambulance gets called when an ambulance doesn't necessarily always need to be called when seizures happen. A lot of our clients face that. And then I think something very similar between our clients and the people you work with is just that constant feeling of helplessness. A lot of our clients can't hold jobs because of their epilepsy.
Yeah.
I think the CDC says that 32% of people that have epilepsy can't hold jobs. And while there's obviously people who have epilepsy and can live a totally normal life done by controlled by medication through epilepsy surgery, anything like that, a lot of people can't do that. A lot of people can't get their medication to control their epilepsy. And it is horrible. And they just feel completely helpless at all time, that at a drop of a dime, they can have a seizure and they could be alone. They can have a seizure in front of their kids. They could have a seizure in public and just be absolutely devastated.
Yeah. And it's, I love where this conversation is going. Thank you for taking us there. Because, you know, the reality that I face as a disability attorney is that, unfortunately, the Social Security Administration just does not understand what the journey of somebody who has epilepsy is, right? So often when somebody has epilepsy or, you know, a seizure disorder, because a lot of times people have like PNES, which for those who might not know are seizures that are not based on, it's not epilepsy, it's psychological conditions oftentimes that can trigger a seizure for somebody. But they assume that, oh, you have a seizure disorder. Well, just no ladders, ropes, and scaffolds. Stay away from those things. Don't work around, you know, hazardous machinery or endanger. You know, they're not going to say somebody with an active seizure disorder can go and work at a construction site, but why can't you work in an office? And it's that like postictal phase that you were describing earlier, like what happens after somebody has a seizure. And even just like if you have a seizure disorder that can't easily be controlled, just the effect of seizure after seizure after seizure after seizure on the brain for years takes such a cognitive toll on people that even like basic communication skills are hard. There people are, and everybody has a different course, but people become forgetful, you know, memory lapses, their concentration waxes and wanes at best. And it's just, it's so misunderstood. The other problem, and I'd love to hear what you think about this, is the documentation. Because for somebody who has a seizure disorder, like you said, you know, you don't need to call an ambulance every time. So the requirements are to receive Social Security disability, that somebody has an average of at least, if you have, you know, the grand mal seizures, you have to have at least one a month for three consecutive, an average of one a month for three consecutive months, despite adherence to prescribed treatment. But the documentation is hard, because if you're somebody who's had seizures before, you're not going to run and go to the emergency room or call an ambulance when you have it. So the documentation is lacking, and it just creates this problem where judges are like, show me where this person had a seizure. Or by the time they get to a hospital, even if they have to go, they're in the postictal period, they're not still having an active seizure, so there's not a great seizure description in the record. There's just like so many unnecessary barriers. And I guess what I want to know is, does the Epilepsy Association do any lobbying to try and change laws based on the inequities, based on the lack of reality of understanding of what it's really like to be a patient with this health dilemma?
Mm-hmm. We don't do any lobbying specifically, but I would say we do lobbying for our clients directly to the Social Security offices. The amount of times our case managers, I have just heard them sitting on the phone waiting to talk to someone, anyone, just trying to get information on how they can help their clients. We do our staff meeting once a month, and in those staff meetings, our case managers are sharing direct contacts for Social Security, for disability, for any type of program that they will need. They are helping each other so that we can help our clients better. And it's like, okay, this specific person in this office said that if we come right to her desk, she can give us this sheet of paper. And it's so devastating to hear these stories, because these are just people that just want to live a normal life. But all of these barriers that are set up are making it impossible to do. Yeah, it is just devastating.
One of the things that we didn't really talk about, we talked part of the awareness, but you mentioned case managers at the Epilepsy Association.
I could talk about how much I love them. Till the day I die. I love these two.
Tell me what they do.
So we have multiple different programs for the Epilepsy Association that our case managers work with clients. So our biggest one is our mental health case management. One of like the very, very common connections with epilepsy is a mental health disorder. So this program that we have is specially created to help people through whatever type of life they're trying to achieve. So they come to our program and they say, hey, I have some type of mental illness. It can be anything from anxiety all the way up to schizophrenia. Any type of mental disorder along with epilepsy. And they will meet with our case managers and they determine their own schedule and things like that. And our case managers help them with every step to make their life better and show them how that they can make their life better. If it's something as simple as I'm trying to apply for a job, how do I go through a job application? How do I tell my job that I have epilepsy? One of our clients had a seizure while working. He was stocking shelves and his boss freaked out and had no idea what to do. So with our case manager, our client was able to give a little mini presentation on how things went. But then, you know, it's something as simple, I hate saying simple and easy, but then like the next step is like one of our clients can call and be like, I just got kicked out of my house. I have nowhere to live. I don't know where any homeless shelter is. And our case manager is ready to go help them and create a plan and advocate for them when they don't know how to advocate for themselves. And then also take them to appointments, for doctor appointments. And they don't know how to advocate for themselves there. They know something's wrong, but they can't verbalize it fully. And our case managers, luckily enough, have the language to be able to connect with these doctors and help them with things like that.
Yeah. So and it's just such a needed resource in the community that so many people don't even realize is out there.
No idea. And I mean, when you think about epilepsy, you think of like that one person and how traumatic it is for them. And it is, it's awful. But then you got to think about the people around them, their caregivers that are parents, that are siblings, that are significant others. And sometimes it's even children. The amount of stories I've heard from our clients about like their kids are the ones that are watching them have seizures, and that watching your mom at like 7 years old have a seizure is horribly traumatic. And our case managers prioritize making sure that those kids and their significant others and the caregivers in general are also being taken care of and not reaching burnout levels. We actually just started our caregiver support group that includes everyone, not just parents, as a way for caregivers to have a place to kind of talk and offer support and anything like that.
I want to ask you about telehealth.
Okay.
Because are a lot of the consumers that you work with, the patients, are they having their appointments telehealth? Are they seeing their doctors more? And well, I want to know that first.
Okay. So first I would say, you know, it was definitely more popular during the COVID years. But they definitely prioritized if they could get them into the office, they would. And when it was virtual, our case managers ensured that they were present because, one, a lot of our clients don't have access to things that could perform telehealth. They don't have smartphones. They don't have computers. They don't have access to easy things like that. One of the things during COVID that we got grants for was to purchase tablets that our clients get to use so that they could do these telehealth calls.
Yeah.
Not as popular anymore. They definitely go into the office more.
Right. And I guess that kind of answers now people are really preferring to go in person. I'm just curious. I always think about the documentation again. And when people are interacting with their doctor over a video screen, what that does to change the appointment and how in-depth an exam might be.
In our experience, like I believe a lot of the clients just want it over. So then doctors miss important tells or conversations that could be having in person. Yeah. And then back to the documentation thing, if they're trying to keep like a personal record, a lot of our clients don't realize that they're having a seizure. And then in that like post-seizure haze, they're not going to remember to write it down. And then it's just this ongoing thing of how documentation of seizures is so hard. There's a lot of great national organizations like the Danny Ditt Foundation that offers grants for people with epilepsy to get seizure devices that kind of help track it, track seizure activity, but that doesn't always catch all of them. Yeah. And those detection devices are way more used for at night seizures during sleeping.
What do you recommend that people do to be able to track their seizures? Because it's just, especially when you know that so many of the clients who you work with are going to need to apply for disability benefits or preserve their benefits if they're already receiving them. Mm-hmm. What do you do to, you know, help them track their apps, or what do you recommend?
So there are apps, there are devices, and like I said, Danny Ditt does offer grants to help people get those, and they will help get them for any type of person. And really, it's our case managers that kind of create plans, and it all depends on the person. Yeah. It depends on the type of seizures. I cannot recommend enough. We have a seminar on seizure devices on our YouTube channel that happened last year. And one of the doctor who did the seminar did outstanding research and ranked things based on like amount of money, like the cost effect, effectiveness of it, if it was FDA approved or not, because then that's a whole nother thing. I feel like the FDA does not realize how many epilepsy things are needed. Yeah. But it just has outstanding facts and figures, and it's on our YouTube page, and our seminars are free for everyone to sign up, and they're all virtual.
Awesome.
But they are on our YouTube page and live there forever.
Tell me about Purple Day, March 26th.
I would love to tell you. I love Purple Day. So Purple Day was created by a young girl named Cassidy. She had epilepsy, and she felt really alone when she got that diagnosis. Yeah. And so she decided that she wanted to figure out a way, how can she spread awareness for epilepsy? So she created Purple Day as like a way for her and her friends to kind of spread awareness. And then it grew into this giant global day of epilepsy awareness, and a bunch of different countries recognize it. And the way the EA celebrates it is through intense awareness. Yes, we do awareness throughout the entire year, but we are promoting our past seminars. We are promoting stickers that we have that everyone should wear, where it says epilepsy warrior, or I know someone that has epilepsy. And all of these things that we are doing are free. We're not asking for any money. We are telling people to wear purple. We are telling people to be a part of our purple wave this year. Really, it's just a great way to promote awareness for a disease that goes unrecognized. And I think my favorite memory about Purple Day is, or like a purple themed thing, is at our winter walk last year, we always give special t-shirts, purple t-shirts, to people that have epilepsy, and everyone else gets a different color so that we know who people with epilepsy are and people kind of feel more connected. This little girl, who is probably like 6 or 7, went up to her mom and goes, I feel so less alone. It's so good to see other epilepsy warriors. And wow. It just felt amazing that that little girl, who probably hates that she has epilepsy and probably feels so secluded at school, just feels so connected at our event. So
that is such a cool story.
Yeah.
That is such a cool story. So if I want to learn more about epilepsy, Purple Day, where do I go? How do I find out more?
So go to our website, epilepsyinfo.org. We have a special tab about Purple Day that will connect you to our way, to the way you can get epilepsy stickers, the way you can get we have an epilepsy family starter pack, which has a bunch of purple gear. So it's got purple beads, purple beanies, anything to help you spread this purple wave. And then also links to our seminars and everything like that. So
that's awesome. Nikki, I'm so glad you're here, but you know, we've got these delicious looking donuts.
I saw Jack Frost and I was so excited.
Well, thank you. You can introduce our sponsor, Jack Frost Donuts. Thank you for sending me a half dozen every week, helping with my belt line significantly. This is the donuts is one of the triple D's. So what donut did you pick to try with me here?
It looks like a chocolate glazed donut with custard in it.
Tell me why out of this entire box of donuts that we were sent, you chose to go with that. Are you a custard fan?
I'm actually a chocolate fan.
A chocolate
fan? I am a chocolate fan.
Okay. Well, and you've had Jack Frost donuts before.
I have, yep.
So you know that you're in for a treat.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I, as opposed to you, stayed on brand, and I chose the the donut. It might be a little colorful for you, but if you notice, we do have some purple sprinkles on this donut. I'm not sure what the flavor of this glaze is, but I would love to taste these donuts together.
Cheers.
And get your impression on that chocolate custard deliciousness.
It's as good as I expected it to be. It's delicious.
I gotta lie, I haven't had a donut like this since I was a little kid with like strawberry frosting, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm smiling a lot right now. This is good.
It looks like the Simpsons donut.
Yeah. I took my daughter to Universal Studios in Los Angeles last month or the month before, and they literally have the donut, the Simpsons donut shop.
Oh my gosh.
So, of course, she wanted a chocolate donut, but most people were ordering like donuts that were this big that looked exactly like this. quite an experience if you're ever in.
Well, you can get that here at Jack Frost.
That's right. You don't need to travel all the way there. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so grateful that we got to have this conversation and continue to raise awareness about epilepsy. And we here at Liner Legal are excited to support Purple Day.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Triple D Podcast, Donuts, Disability, and Discourse. Rate, subscribe, and tune in next week for more discourse and donuts.